CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Tom Jostlin with the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's a senior fellow. He and Bill Raggio and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. Highly recommend to watch the chronology of the catastrophe in Afghanistan over many years, but now going forward. And in Tom's testimony recently to the Banking Commission, I believe it was Senator Duckworth of Illinois, who was asking in the direction of a commission, perhaps a congressional joint commission or a commission in the Senate only, to review the defeat, the failure, the mistakes of Afghanistan. Tom, your easy remark was that it's unlikely that you could be comprehensive. It is 20 years of making mistakes. But what would be worth reviewing, Tom, in such a commission, both militarily and in terms of the State Department's efforts?
You know, John, I think the way I've come to think about this stuff, and I don't think this is the only way you can address these matters, but I do think it's clarifying, is that, you know, I look now at history and even recent events as a series of decisions. People make decisions all the time. We make them in our personal lives and we make them professionally, and you make them even in complex war fighting like the war in Afghanistan. And when I look back on the work that we've done, and you know, we're not perfect, obviously, but the thing that I think we got right that a lot of other people got wrong when it comes to the war in Afghanistan is that it was obvious to see that the decision that was being made was the wrong one at the time, if you just thought about it. And yet senior policymakers, political leaders, military officials made the wrong decision over and over again. And, you know, that to me, you know, it's not 2020 hindsight. We were saying at the time, you know, for example, you asked what, you know, how do you address the military and the diplomatic failures? I was recently looking through the Afghanistan papers, this book by the Washington Post's Craig Whitlock. And, you know, there's some merit to the book and there's some merit to looking at the flawed decision making by U.S. military officials. But the book includes this odd idea that the U.S. could have just negotiated with the Taliban in late 2001 and all would have been well. And this is a completely farcical counterfactual. I mean, it's total nonsense. There's just abundant evidence that it was wrong. And it also ignores the fact that the U.S. basically spent 10 years just desperately pursuing a diplomatic solution with the Taliban. And so while the military track failed, the diplomatic track failed as well. And this speaks to the fact that people didn't really understand the Taliban or al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, didn't understand the enemy, and that flowed through to all these poor decisions that were made.
Diplomacy, the double track, the State Department and the Department of Defense working together or separately. In your conversation with Bill, you used a term, servile diplomacy, with regard to how the U.S. entreated the Taliban or its representatives. This was most obvious most recently in the negotiation Doha. But did this go on for many years, Tom? Was the State Department always seeking to bend a knee to the Taliban to get them to comply with the U.S. wishes?
Yeah, I mean, if you go through the review the whole history of diplomacy here, and compare it to sort of business dealings in the New York area. You know, John, I would imagine that a good number of your listeners are in the New York area. You know, if you know businessmen in the New York area or you've dealt with them in sort of economics and finance world, and you look at how they do business dealings, you would see right away, if you were to compare the diplomacy of the Taliban to sort of the average business transaction in New York City, for example, that the party that was weak at the table was the American party all along. That in terms of negotiations, that the U.S. didn't know what it was doing and was really desperate to have any kind of deal with the Taliban. It's really kind of pathetic, to be honest with you. You know, if you go through the whole history, as I have, it was so pathetic that the U.S., even at the outset, gave $150,000 to a fake Taliban commander because they were desperate to find somebody to negotiate with. I mean, just picture this, John. This isn't the Taliban saying, hey, America, we want to talk, right? We want to have some kind of process for talking here, and we want to have some sort of diplomatic agreement here with you. This was America desperately trying to find somebody on the Taliban side to talk to. That's the first thing that tells you that America was weak here and it was servile diplomacy. And at first, they couldn't even find anybody who was a real representative of the Taliban to talk to. I mean, think about the ignorance there. They didn't even know who to actually reach out to. And they spent $150,000 to this. They spent this on this fake commander, Mullah Mansour, who wasn't really the real Mullah Mansour. and they gave him that money because they were trying to entice him into negotiations. And eventually, the irony, the twist here is that ultimately the U.S. actually ended up killing the real Mullah Mansour because he was a fully made al-Qaeda man who was loudly and proudly on al-Qaeda's side in the war and was rubbing America's nose in it. The bottom line is that I gave you that as one example from the history here, John. As you go through the diplomacy really from the 2010 era all the way through 2020, it is filled with examples like that of just completely servile, submissive diplomacy, and a total failure.
In your conversation, you named Senator Moran, asking about right now, does the U.S. have leverage, or can the U.S. achieve leverage using diplomacy and, I guess, cash at the same time? Senator Moran is thinking in a direction of re-engaging with the Taliban. Is that how to hear his questions, Don?
That seemed to be the implication to me, and it was kind of bizarre. Like I think he thought I gave him a non-answer. He said I gave him a non-answer to his question, but actually I think I gave him the most pertinent answer that he could have gotten, to be honest with you, which was that, you know, his whole premise is that there, you know, the premise of negotiating with the Taliban or talking to the Taliban is that there is some reasonable basis for talks at this point. And and you have people in Washington saying the U.S. has leverage over the Taliban. This is diplo speak. This is sort of the mindless pabulum that you hear come out of Washington. And my point is, look, we have 25 years of history here, John. 25 years of history going back to 1996. You know the history as well as anybody because you've been doing this for so long and covering this, John, right? At any point in time, did the U.S. demonstrate that it had leverage over the Taliban? I mean, when, John, throughout our many talks about all this, throughout all of talking about this war and our conversations about all this on air, have we ever seen the U.S. have leverage over the Taliban? At no point in time has that been the case. And so I think that when the premise of what you want to do is based on such a faulty assumption as it is in this case, you have to question what it is you want to do. And I don't think that a lot of these guys really want to do that. I think they want to believe that there's some sort of humanitarian outcome here that is going to be acceptable and national security outcome here that would be acceptable, when the truth, as the title of our podcast says, is the emperor was new all along. America didn't really know what it was doing, and I don't think America knows what it's doing now.
I'm speaking with Tom Jostin, a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and Bill Raggio and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. There's much to say about Tom's remarks with the Senate Banking Committee about what comes next. And when we come back, Pakistan also, is their leverage? And the money in U.S. banks that is designated for the Afghan government, is that leverage? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.